One thing that I learned in secondary school is how to be a hustler.
I think I have wicked tendencies, but I'm not wicked.
You're always saying bad energy stay far away, but
bad energy stay far away, but you're the bad energy.
I dare you to lick in Kechi's pants.
You guys don't know I have brain. I have brain.
First of all, nobody asked. Second of all, your outfit is actually trash and we don't care.
The only time I'm on my knees is, well, that's classified.
Chidera, this is a family channel.
I hope my mother isn't listening to this podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Care Package Podcast. Back in your ears once again. You guys already know what the vibe is like. But yeah, guys, we are back in your ears with episode 60. I know you guys were wondering, we're like, where's the care package? We said we'd be consistent. There were technical difficulties.
Let me tell you guys something. Life happens. Life happens when you don't think that life is gonna life.
Life.
But let's talk about, okay, first of all, at least our first like 30 episodes were
back to back.
And we went through a few rough patches, but you guys were still here. How many podcasts do you know have up to 60 episodes? I'll wait.
With ones like, and we don't have seasons, like we've released 60 back to back.
Like, I'll actually wait. I will wait. Because you don't have an answer. Okay. Okay. And we've given you guys 1,800 minutes plus of listening. Like,
we've given you guys amazing guests, some people who we've had repeat, some people who even made us laugh. So today to record the episode, problem. But yeah, guys, we are back in your ears in episode 60. And this week we will be speaking about just how to be a badass. Like, not even how to be a badass bitch, because everybody deserves to be a badass, but just how to be a badass, like stuff
just like
helped us.
Because yeah, we'll get into it. Like things that have helped us, tips and tricks. And I'm gonna say this again when we actually start talking about it, but let me tell you guys, this P, it's all about faking it till you make it.
Faking it till you make it, bro. If you act like you have your shit together, eventually you have your shit together.
To come together. You get it. Anyway, so before we get into that, we'll just, as usual, we're going to catch you guys up, give you guys the tea, what's happening in the world, what's happening in life. Yeah. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't start with the one. I'm sure you guys, to be honest, you guys are probably tired of hearing it by now, but obviously Chira and I have not given our 2 cents yet.
Yeah.
And we have to. So unfortunately, you're going to have to hear it one more time.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that's why they sent it to Bel-Air, sir. I'm going to DM them.
Now, for those of you who don't know, but if you don't know, then how can you not know? Basically, at the Oscar ceremony, the Oscars are an award ceremony, kind of like the Grammys, but it's for movies. Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith suffers from alopecia. And he made a joke about G.I. Jane. Can't wait to see her in the next movie because G.I. Jane was bald in the last movie. So kind of just making fun of the fact that she's bald. And like at first, the thing is that what confused me is that I could see Will laughing at first, but yeah, Jada was like not having it. And suddenly, who just said going up? And at first, Chris Rock thought it was Barnes because he was like, uh-oh. Who Smith just... One mighty, even sounded like a punch.
Yeah, I know. I know the broadcast everyone watched, they probably heard the sound, but in America, they actually censored the sound and they also censored Will saying, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
How did they censor it if it was live?
I don't know. Sha, in the American one, you couldn't hear the
punch. You watch it live?
Yeah, I watch it live.
Oh. Interesting.
I know the one I watched was the Australian one and they had a translator, I don't know why. And the translator was translating everything. So when Will Smith was like, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, the translator translated that. But yeah.
Okay, so age old argument, who was in the right, who was in the wrong?
I think they were both very stupid. I think two things. I think initially watching it, I thought it was a joke. I did not think, especially since these are two really, really famous Black comedians and they're known for being like silly I think everyone thought it was a joke till, you know, the clip came out of Will saying, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. And to some degree, Will's angry reaction was warranted, but I don't think he should have, I don't even want to say it's violence because the slap didn't even look like he connected, but he shouldn't have resorted to violence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think also Chris, especially considering how, from what we heard, that Chris and Will were really, really close friends. Like, they were like family, basically. So I'm guessing Chris knew about the situation. But like, in fact, be like, it picked me. He made a joke about it.
Here's the problem with C-Finish. Here's the problem with C-Finish. Chris was already thinking about guys, about boys. Can... Now, let me see. I have a lot of thoughts on the situation. I also agree with Chidera. They're both idiots. Like, no, there's no better person.
It's not black and white. It's
just... Now, Chris Rock himself, he knew that Jada has alopecia. Apparently, he's made jokes about her being bald in the past that she clearly didn't like. He kept going. Also, apparently, this was not on the approved script. He went off script. There's a reason why there's a script. Because you don't make jokes about people that have alopecia. Okay, Chris. Okay, Chris. And then Will, like, at your big age, you don't know how to contain your anger and address it later. You had to go on the Oscar. And do you know what's crazy? Will Smith won his first ever Oscar 10 minutes later. But nobody's talking about that. Yeah. Will Smith is a great actor and he just won his first Oscar and all everybody's talking about is the fact that he slapped a man on stage and that's going to be his legacy.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be his legacy, to be honest, because I mean, Kanye West has done so many crazy things. Like, people have done crazy things at the award ceremonies.
Yeah.
But for the next few months at least, like, people are always going to remember, oh, Will Smith did this to Chris Rock. And people are going to be like, oh, Will Smith has anger issues. My thing is with Chris Rock, sorry, Chris Rock, not only did he go off script, but when Will Smith was saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth, he was still defending himself that it was a G.I. Jane joke. Can't you tell that you've upset these people? Like, what's wrong with you talking about the G.I. Jane joke?
I think there was a lot of stuff, but like, obviously the after effect of everything. So like, there was the Oscars, like, considering taking away the award.
That is upsetting me and my homegirl, because Harvey Weinstein has 81 Oscars.
Well,
Harvey Weinstein is a rapist, a sexual assaulter, and a molester.
I have 81.
And nobody has ever thought, maybe we should take those away from him. But Will Smith, like, slapped a man on stage.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, there was a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, if they took away the Oscar, like, Will already has quite a lot of achievements in his life. But the Oscar was really for... So, for those of you, I don't know, he won the Oscar for King Richard. So... He played Venus. It was the biopic of Venus and Serena Williams, and he played their dad.
Which I still haven't watched, by the way, and I don't know why I haven't watched it.
Watched it either.
But I need to watch it.
That's why everyone was like, you can't take away the Grammy. And then now Will has, like, resigned from the Academy.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think the Academy is like a subscription. I don't know. It's like Netflix.
Does that mean that he can't be nominated for stuff in the future?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. Honestly, truly and honestly, I couldn't tell you. But one thing I don't, like, obviously, Twitter has no filter. So people are saying Jada was like Tupac would have, you know, killed him, stuff like that. Because for those of you who don't know, Jada used to go out with Tupac. And now Jada came out and said she regrets Will's, like, punching him because she's a strong woman. She doesn't need anyone to defend her. Jada, my love, you were laughing and you looked angry. What did you want the man to do?
Nah, Jada is actually crazy.
She's actually very sick. And, you know, on this podcast, we love women, but Jada, I just don't even know. Like, I feel like from the August Alsina thing, these people, like, it's either they get divorced or they shut the hell up. Like,
because did you see that clip where Will Smith was basically saying that for Jada's birthday, he planned her this, like, really extravagant bash? Like, he said in his mind that this is going to be how I'm going to show you how I love you. Like, he did so many things, video, documentary. Like, he did everything he could do because he just wanted to make her happy and show how much he loved her. And apparently she said to him, this like was a terrible idea. All this shows is how big your ego is. Guy.
Jade, I have no words for you. God will judge you. Anyways, moving on. So then after the Oscars, we had the Grammys. Hi-key, sometimes I lose track of all these award ceremonies. There's the BAFTA.
I don't watch them anymore, to be honest.
BAFTAs, Grammys, there's VMAs, there's the Academy Awards, there's too many. But basically, I think a week or 2 weeks after, there was the Grammys. And like nothing significant happened at the Grammys. Well, people won awards or whatever. But one thing I saw a lot of was quite a few people were angry that a lot of TikTokers were invited to the Grammys. Which, I don't know, it's not black and white.
Why were they angry?
I think lots of people were angry because they were like, you know, people would kill for an opportunity, this. But like, if you're not in music,
they're just mad that they didn't get invited. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, all these things in the past have been upheld as these like super exclusive, like the Grammys or the Met Gala, like all this shit. But like, I feel like them allowing like more common people in quotes, like TikTokers and stuff, to attend these things just humanizes these celebrities even more, because I think we've learned from especially 2020 lockdown that like holding celebrities to a pedestal is like not a good thing, because most of them are just quite stupid. Like, how many of them did we cancel in the past few
cancel?
So it's almost like, yeah, like there's no reason why they should be upheld like the elites of the elites. Let's more people have access to these kind of events. Like, and one day, and the thing is that people get mad about the TikTokers being allowed to go in, but that is just one step closer to opening the door for you, nobody, to be allowed to go to the Grammys.
Because
first they allow the TikTokers, then they allow the bottom tier TikTokers with only 100 followers. And they start allowing you people that just sit at home. Like, I feel like this is not a big deal, personally.
Yeah. But yeah, I think people just have a problem with TikTokers in general. Like, everything, like, I feel like if you're, well, I don't want to say that. I feel like if people have problems with TikTokers going to public events, so like Fashion Week or like Met Gala or the Grammys, like, that's a bit daft. But like, when TikTokers are genuinely taking away opportunities with no experience and just because their pretty face has a lot of followers, then
opportunities from who?
I don't even know. I feel like it's just like, it's very selective. So quite a few tweets I've seen, it's like when Addison Rae was like given to be a journalist for, I think, an MMA fight.
Okay,
and
she
tweeted, oh my God, I'm a reporter for the MMA fight and I have no experience. And people, woo, that was a rough, I know that was a rough day for her PR team. I know that was a rough day.
See, but I'm in two minds about that. On one hand, I'm like, first of all, that's not really related to them being able to attend the Grammys or the Oscars or whatever. Like, I feel like that's like them attending. She has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But on that matter, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, to be fair, they are taking away opportunities from people. They are like, you know, some people work their ass off and, you know, they don't get anywhere near this pretty blonde girl just because she did a few dances on TikTok. But then on the other hand, it's like, that's just life.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a whole, if it was a different career, like, if it was a different situation, like, you wouldn't be as, people wouldn't be as upset. For example, like, Kim Kardashian is a really good example.
Yeah.
Maybe a really bad example in this case, but it's a good example. Like, Kim Kardashian, like, obviously she's studying to be a lawyer now, but even before she was studying to be a lawyer, she worked to get so many people out of jail, right? Yeah. So are you going to say, oh, she used her influence to get the people out of jail, so her work is null and void?
Yeah.
No.
I think it also has to do, like Anu said, we learned through quarantine, like COVID, we learned to not hold celebrities to a pedestal. And I think one thing that comes with that is like, I think it would have been a different situation if she was just like, I'm very excited to be a reporter for this, full stop. Not saying I have no experience.
Mm.
I think when you're a bit insensitive and you don't kind of
recognize your privilege
and why you did it. Yeah.
Kim Kardashian and Molly May, take notes.
But yeah, okay, another thing we want to speak about. Lord Bridgerton. Bridgerton season two.
I'm not gonna lie.
It took me a while to watch it. I watched Bridgerton season one in a day.
Season one was a bit spicier. But season two was cute. I personally love an enemies to lovers. True.
I love an enemies to lovers, but I don't love sister's boyfriend.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I love an enemies to lovers, but I don't like
the way my thing with that is that the sister was a bit, I don't know, even the relationship between her and Anthony, like, she was like 16, Anthony was like 29. Like, there was no way you thought that was
gonna... But that's what they were doing that year now. That's the same with Daphne and Simon.
Oh, there was no one. There was no one like Daphne Bridgerton and Duke of Hastings. Nobody.
Nah, that season one was... And I also love it, pretending to love them, fall in love. I also love that trope.
I love that trope, yeah. But also, me and Annie kind of discussed this before, but speaking about Netflix and shows we're excited to come out this year, we have a mutual, For Once We Agree, Umbrella Academy. I'm very, 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 very excited for that.
Woo-woo. I just wanted to actually go back to Bridgerton for a bit. Like... Spoilers. Sorry, guys. Forgot to put a spoiler. Like, you know what Bridgerton season two. This is a spoiler, so skip ahead a couple of minutes. Yeah. Do you think Kate and Anthony should have ended up together?
Yeah. Shitty people end up together, and that's life.
Kate is not a shitty person.
I mean, she's not, but realistically, we all knew it was going to happen because
he's also not a shitty person. See, both of them have trauma. I was saying this like with season one, Simon's own trauma was that because he had his daughter as a child, he don't want to have any child, so he won't hate his child. Anthony's trauma is that because he saw his father die in front of him and saw how he changed his mother, he did not want to love somebody and then die.
I think, yeah. I mean, they were going to end up. It was giving modern day Hamilton. I married this one, but I'm in love with her sister. That's what
I've actually not watched Hamilton.
You should. But yeah, I mean, one thing I always forget is like they speak in like really, really old English. So sometimes you'll be watching the episode and they'll be like, "I do say, my lord, that you are very, very repulsive." I'm like, just call him a dickhead and keep it pushing, bro.
It's when the babe was like, I think he asked that question, she was like, "Because you vex me."
But bro, hacky, if someone tells me I'm the bane of their existence and the object of all their desires, sir, I just like <might. laughs> Yeah, just my risky self. I'm lying. I'm not. But yeah, also in Netflix, there's a new show that came out, Young Famous Africans. And imagine there being a show with Young Famous Africans and Nige is in there.
Let's talk about it. First of all, I just have to say that there was no Young in that show. They should have just called it Famous on Africa.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody Young in that show. But I need to be on Two-Face.
I don't even know.
You can see both of us now. Our hands are. We don't even know where to start.
I think that's what exactly what you said. I think that's what Annie is. Annie's like, I can't leave this guy because where do I fucking start from? Where do you start from? Like Two Faces.
Annie met this man when she was 15. She dated him when she was 19. He was 24 and 28, respectively. I'm just like he has 7 children. The children she gave him are the last two. So that means he had 5 different children on her head. And she kept going back. And at the end of the Young Famous and African, they renewed their wedding vows. And in her vow, she was talking about how, oh, Innocence, I just feel like it's me and you against the world.
I forget that guy's name is Innocence. But yeah, she hates
you and me against the world so much.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like, I feel like if you are unproblematic and you had no beef, like, I think it's a really cute thing to say. It's like, oh, it's me and you against the world, babe.
But like, if you're unproblematic and you have no beef, the world will not be against you.
Yes. Like, I don't know. I think, I don't even know. Annie sometimes, like, she just, I don't know. Yeah, it's such a big life. But I mean, I think to her, she's like, well, he must love me because I'm the only one he married. But
oh, see, baby girl. Who should tell her?
But yeah, okay, the next thing we kind of want to speak about is people and their baby daddies. So the first one is going to be Black China and baby daddies.
Basically, Black China want Tiger Pum Pum.
Before we get copyrighted, shut up.
Even I'm not even singing it, how can they copyright me?
But yeah, basically, Black China posted that she had to sell her 3 cars, yada, 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 to, and she gets no child support. And Tiger commented, I have my son for like 5 out of the 7 days of the week. Why would I pay child support? And then Rob Kardashian, guy in shadows, always coming out on this tea, was like, I have my daughter 6 out of 7 days of the week. I pay for all her extracurriculars. I pay her school fees. Why the hell would I pay child support? And then Black China basically.
Black China hatched me. That's okay.
But yeah.
That's a femme, honestly.
That's a femme, bro. And then the next one is Krept and Sasha. For those of you that don't know, Krept is Krept and Conan. Well, he's the Krept of Krept and Conan. And basically, he and his, I guess, partner, Anyway, he used to date Sasha and he had a kid called Nala. He's the cutest baby ever. But basically, they are no longer together. And Sasha posted a tweet that was basically saying, she posted something on her Snap that was basically talking about how, like, they have to pay for daycare and she's not even there most of the time. And she was like, they pay 700 each. And then, you know, Twitter users, Twitter space is like Clubhouse. And the one thing I hated about Clubhouse is people kept always being like, yes, the discourse on the, people just used to talk on Clubhouse and just used to say nonsense and they had nobody to tell them. But yeah, the discourse on Twitter was basically like, oh, if he's a millionaire, why are you paying equally? And she was like, he's like, he's the reason I have everything I have today. Why would I not contribute to my daughter? She's my kid as well. And people on Twitter weren't satisfied with that answer. So apparently this morning they created Twitter spaces. Grown ass women and men. They created a Twitter space and they're basically talking about it. And Krept and Sasha were like, what the fuck? Like, how does it come to concern anybody? Like, also, it wasn't even one of those things that was that deep. I was like, wow, people really have no work. But anyways.
No, I think we've been knowing that people on the internet don't have.
But anyways, that's the weekly catch up. So we're basically going to tell you guys the secrets, tips and tricks to how to become a badass. Step one, get your pen and paper out. You need to drop these things down.
Drop things down.
Step one, you will need to pour a cup of confidence into your life. I think everybody speaks about being confident a lot and a lot of people don't really know what that entails because confidence is just like maybe putting your shoulders up, standing tall, blah, blah, blah. It ain't any of that shit. Let me tell you now, it's none of that. I feel like confidence is about basically talking your shit. So basically like standing firm in your own opinions. I think that's one thing that shows confidence. So like, if you're in class now and one guy says something that sounds dumb and you disagree, but there are more people that agree with the guy than you, like talk your shit. Like it's your, like everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Just because it's not public opinion doesn't mean it's not an opinion. I'm not saying it's a right opinion because some people have opinions nowadays that are very questionable, Trump supporters. But yeah, like,
oh my god, I forgot Trump existed, bro. That's crazy. What a guy.
But yeah,
Yeah, in terms of confidence, I feel like it's one of them ones where it's easier said than done. Obviously, like we can't discount the fact that some people are naturally confident and some people aren't. But for me personally, I feel like I've gone from somebody who wasn't so confident to becoming confident. And I think one of the steps, like I learned this from Adela Patron, funny enough. You just have to fake it. Just pretend that you're confident. I promise you, just pretend that you're confident and one day you shock yourself that you're actually like confident, because I found that
when I met people, when I interacted with people, at first I was like shy. I was like, I don't know how they're gonna, you know, how they're gonna take to me. What if they don't like me? So I kept quiet. But then I learned that, first of all, you overthinking about somebody, like thinking bad about your, like, of starting a conversation with someone is the same way they're also overthinking. Like, we're both stressed. So you might as well make the first move, because the person will more often than not appreciate it, unless they're a dickhead, which in that case, them being a dickhead is not reflective on your character as a person.
Yeah.
So I honestly think, yeah, fake it. And just remember that everyone is just as nervous as you are. So, like, if you can take yourself on, you can take someone else on. Also, and I feel like confidence is also not just like being able to speak to people or talk your shit, but also just like the way you carry yourself. Like, let them know that when they see you, this babe, she's a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think one thing for me that I've kind of realized, or like even talking to my friends or seeing my friends in their situations, as you get older, I feel like makes you more confident in your actions and like what you're doing, is just plain taking accountability for what you do. I feel like the older you get, it's kind of hard to be like, okay, so the classic one is when you like bitch about your friend and they hear you and your excuses, I was drunk. Like, I feel like we're at the age where, yes, you were under the influence of something, but you still have to take accountability for it. You should, like, I feel like one thing that has definitely helped me to be comfortable in myself and my actions is knowing that whatever I do, I have to take accountability for it. Whether I was under the influence or not, it was Chidera Idozie that did it, and I have to stand by my actions no matter how stupid they are. And I think that makes me think about them a bit more. And
that when you make those decisions, you know that, yeah, I'm standing firm.
Yeah, I'm standing firm in what I did. But yeah, I think those are very, very, very important points. And then another thing Anna kind of spoke lightly about is, you know, not listening to other people's opinions. I feel like, especially as a woman in this age, like, it's hard. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, it is very hard. No one wants to hear that when you went out with your friends, the boys you were looking at all night were talking about you and they were like, oh, she's a bit chunky for me. Like, no one wants to hear that, you know?
Mm.
But like, I think just not like, I don't want to say not listening to other people's opinions, because sometimes it's against your will. But like, just not taking other people's opinions as Bible. Like,
take everything being said with a pinch of salt, especially if it's people who are strangers, people that don't really know you that well, people that you don't read, like
people that you don't read, bro.
Let's say enter one ear and enter another, because like, first of all, another person's opinion, another person who doesn't know you's opinion of yourself does not change who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And like, I promise you, haters are gonna hate. Like, the badder of a bitch you are, the more haters you're gonna have. I promise you.
And I feel like the more you like realize that, you just realize people's opinions and shit. Like, people going, like, you kind of start realizing, damned if I do, damned if I don't. Like, at that point, what are you going to do? Do you want to be the one that's conforming to, you know, what everyone wants you to be? Like, if they say you're loud, you know, you go out and you're just shutting up. Like, why? Like, the fuck?
And it's that thing of like, when, you know, when you're younger and your parents or whoever tells you, oh, if somebody's bullying you, it's because they're jealous of something that you have, or they, you know, they're envious of you, and it's one of those things you roll your eyes at. But I promise you, it's so true, because
I promise
jealousy and envy are such ugly emotions, and they cause people to do the craziest things. Somebody will see that you're thriving and they'll suddenly be like, oh, this babe, she's just too out there. What does that even mean? Like,
especially when you're up, so when things are going really, really great for you, like, you have a new boyfriend, that girl that you met in year 7 that you stole her pencil will text you, hey girl, I'm coming to you as a woman. She's not coming to you as anything. She's trying to be a woman. But yeah, no, definitely. I think I definitely see my parents were talking their shit and they were making a lot of sense. Like, at the moment, it was just like,
well, no, somebody keeps poking me in the face with a pencil, they're bullying me, how can they be jealous of me? But like, yeah, people, so like, other people, especially people that don't know you all that well, like their opinion is subject, is what's the one? I don't know which one it is. Subjective or objective? It's subjective because it's subject to the only the knowledge they know about you. So like, yeah, that's one. And then we also have chasing your dreams. I feel like this one, or well, when I say dreams, I mean like anything you want. So basically like visualizing and materializing your goals. It's a lot to say, like, you know, everyone has like the things they want to achieve in this, like the next few years, next few months. But I feel like if you don't, like, I feel like for me, okay, in my opinion, putting stuff on paper isn't visualizing for me, like just being like,
it isn't, or it is,
it isn't. So I feel like if I write down like in the next 3 months I want to make this, is this, or I want to do this, is this, is not visualizing for me. I feel like visualizing to me is literally putting in a plan of how I'm going to do that, because then you're like visualizing and you're going to materialize whatever you want.
Visualize and materialize. But, you know, we need to write a book.
Yeah. We actually need to write a book. I feel like it's not enough to be like, oh, like, these are the things I want. Like, how are you going to get those? Like, someone said goals need to be like, what's the thing? Like, they need to have a, like, how are you going to do that, basically? I can't remember the word, but, like, how are you going to achieve that? What are you going to, like, what are the steps? That was it. What are the steps to achieve that? And I feel like once you start doing that and actually seeing what goals are realistic and unrealistic, because there's some goals that are unrealistic, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there's some things I want that's right now in the next few, like, couple.
I want to be the president of the universe.
This one's a good, but yeah, I think actually setting steps to achieve your goals helps you visualize more clearly, and then you're able to materialize. Speaking to you from a business girly.
Oh, sorry, business girly. But I think, yeah, what she said, but basically just working towards, and also working towards things gives you a sense of accomplishment. So, like, it just makes you feel like, oh, I'm doing things. My life is lifing at the moment. And related to this, like, stop waiting for people's permission to do things. Like, if you want to be the president of the universe like me, go ahead and do it. Like, if you want to be the president of the universe, go ahead. Like, a lot of people don't let people like diminish your dream for you, because at the end of the day, you're the only one that knows what you're capable of. So I could tell Chidera that I want to be the president of the universe, and she could tell me that's never going to happen, but she doesn't know, like, that I'm willing to be so determined to make that happen, type of thing. Like, she doesn't know what, how persistent I am. She doesn't know how smart I am. She doesn't know what links I have. Like, she doesn't know what makes me capable to do that. So she's going to turn up, and she doesn't know what my full potential is. So she's going to be like, are you sure? Maybe she starts from president of Nigeria, then you can work your way up. Why don't you be the president of Nigeria, please?
Yeah. And then another thing I want to speak about, that we speak about on multiple episodes, is getting rid of fucking things that do not serve you anymore. But this one has a little bit of a twist.
You guys, there's a reason why we talk about this on every episode. Let me just tell you, there's a reason we do, because we as human beings have a habit of holding on to people that hate us, holding on to things that, like, are not good for us, because we're so sentimental. We're so like, oh my God, but this person saved, well, not saved my life, but like, this person, like, they used to bake me cookies 5 years ago. So, like, I start to remember that they baked me cookies, despite the fact that they stepped on your shoe, they poured sand in your eye, they passed you in front of your friends. Don't remember all those words, because they baked you one batch of cookies. You're like, ah, oh, but all the memories, yeah. Like,
I'm not going to point fingers and be like, I don't have sentiments, because there's certain people, like, I do have sentimental value to. But I think it's that whole thing. They have to think sentiment or progression. Like,
if somebody you feel sentimentally about, like a friend you've been with since you were six or something, and they've just become a bastard to you, like they're being mean to you, they're telling all your childhood secrets, they're just not a great friend. Or like, and then you have them as a reference for one of your jobs, and you're like, yeah, they're my guy, they got me, and they write you a bad reference. Like, because of your sentiment for that person, you've stopped your progression. And I think it's very important that we surround ourselves with people that let us be ourselves. People that we don't have to like play up to or play down to. Like, no offense to anyone. I will never dumb myself down for anybody. What I know is what I know, and I will tell you what I fucking know. And that's facts. I will never dumb myself down or play myself up. Like, also, like, yeah, like surrounding yourself with people that you can be real with, and also things that bring you incredible joy. Like, if you have that dress that, you know, like something, like just things that remind you that you're going to progress, not things that keep taking you back. Like, yeah. And then I guess the last thing we want to speak about is basically the most important part is being self-reliant and taking calculated risks. Being self-reliant. I think, okay, so I will put myself in this example. When I was younger, like in primary school, I didn't have loads of friends. And when I went to secondary school, I made like two friends. Anna was one of them. I don't even know if we're still friends now. But I made quite a few friends. And by the time I went to England, I was completely out of my shell. Like, I knew everybody. But like, I started to kind of realize that like, you can't, like Anu said, you can't depend on people to help you progress. Like, people are there to, you know, guide you and aid you through the process, but you can't depend on them to help you progress. You're the only person that can help yourself progress. Like, friends are support systems. They are not dependent systems. Like, you can't be like, oh, well, like, you know, Anu doesn't have a job right now, so I'm not going to go get that job. Like, the fuck? Fuck does that mean? Or like, you two applied for a job and one person got it. Like, you have to, I feel like it's very hard when you're younger because, you know, you're still making friends. You don't really want to lose them. One thing I will fucking tell you guys, put yourself fucking first. Like, because if you don't, no one will. Truly and honest. Mm-hmm. If you let everyone walk over you like a doormat, you will be treated like a doormat. And that's just...
Yeah, I think for me, I just wanted to say, first of all, on that, like, surround yourself with good people, that's so important. Because you know when they say things like, birds of the same feather flock together, show me your friends
what, and I'll tell what, them. What?
You're only as strong as your weakest link around you. And the people that are around you definitely reflect the kind of person that you are, to be honest. Like, as much as we like to say that's not true, it is, because you wouldn't surround yourself around people that were like you didn't agree with their ideals. So if you surround yourself with such people, then you agree with their ideals. If you agree with their ideals, then you're just like them. And I feel like your friends and the people around you are just going to be your biggest cheerleaders. So if you're around people that are always telling you, dream smaller, dream smaller, dream smaller, then you're gonna dream smaller. And in terms of, yeah, but at the same time, like, your friends are not, like, don't watch what Chidera is doing, don't watch what Coinstellar Akala is doing. Like, everybody's on their own path and on their own journey. So yes, your friends are your cheerleaders and they're gonna guide you along the way, but they're not gonna do the work for you.
Yeah.
And that is where I drop my microphone. Yeah, guys, so it's been a lovely episode catching up with you guys again. The episode was just me and Chidera. I just feel like we're really connecting with you guys, because normally, like, if we have a guest, we have to be sharing the nuggets of the guest, but this one is just, we're just, you know. But yeah, I mean, I can't, Chidera and I cannot tell you guys how grateful we are that you've rocked with us for 60 episodes. Like, if you're still listening to this podcast, like, if I could kiss you, if I see you in the streets, I'll lips you, I promise.
Oh god.
Thank you so much for rocking us. Thank you for sticking by us despite all the hurdles. When we say bigger things are coming, we mean it. We have things in the works, and we're working on being the best we can be. So yes, thank you for sticking with us. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Care Package Pod and TikTok at The Care Package Pod. And I promise you, our first TikTok is coming. I promise. They're coming. Don't worry.
I do.
Yeah. We'll see you in our next episode. Bye.
This package has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you.